Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Arena REIT FY19 annual results. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rob de Vos, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, and good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Arena REIT's FY19 full-year results presentation. Arena's results announcement, investor presentation, and financial statements were released to the ASX earlier this morning. My name's Rob de Vos, Arena's Managing Director, and joining me on the call today is Gareth Winter, Arena's Chief Financial Officer. The format of today's call will have Gareth and I walk through the investor presentation, and there'll be an opportunity for questions at the end. So moving straight into the highlights for the period, and I'm on page three of the presentation. I'm very pleased to report that Arena has again been successful on delivering on its strategy and investment objectives over the last 12 months, and as a result, is today reporting strong operational and financial outcomes. To touch on some of the highlights, our cash-based net operating profit of 37.7 million dollars represents an 8.7% increase on the prior year, with the revenue growth from ongoing development activity and strong rent reviews substantially flowing through to bottom-line net earnings due to a comparably stable operating expense structure. Our EPS is up 5.3% to 0.138, and we've paid a full-year distribution of 0.135 per security, which is in line with guidance set 12 months ago and represents a 5.5% increase on the prior year. We've completed 72 million dollars of selective new acquisitions and development programs, providing an average net initial yield on all costs, including transaction costs, of 6.4%. We've achieved like-for-like rental growth from the portfolio of 3.6%, including market reviews in the period of 9.4%. Gearing reduced to just under 23% as a result of the capital raising undertaken in May, as well as continued net valuation growth across the portfolio of about 4.6% for the 12-month period. So pleasing headline numbers for the year, in line with our expectation and positioning us well to commence financial year 20. Moving on to the next slide on portfolio performance and supporting those strong headline numbers, we've seen positive outcomes achieved across the portfolio. Highlights for the period under the team's key focus areas: lease management, we've maintained 100% occupancy. We've achieved rental growth of 3.6%, including an average of 9.4% increase across 39 market rent reviews. We've worked in partnership with our tenants to extend leases out of cycle, resulting in a material increase in our WALE over the period and increasing those transparent, predictable cash flows that we prefer. We've also worked with three of our early learning tenant partners in renovation programs to allow for rejuvenation and expansion of existing early learning centres. Portfolio management, as I mentioned, WALE has been extended to 14.1 years. We've sold one early learning centre in Queensland. We've seen further valuation growth across the portfolio of $32 million, 4.6%, and the passing yield for the portfolio is now at 6.38%. We've again had success in executing on our investment development activities, with 8 operating centres acquired, being 5 early learning centres and 3 specialist disability accommodation properties. We've completed 4 high-quality early learning centre development projects at a total cost of $25 million and an average yield on cost of 6.4%. And we've replenished our development pipeline with a further 8 exciting new development sites acquired that will support future earnings growth. Our portfolio metrics are in great shape. We're achieving strong rental growth. The portfolio has no vacancies. We have profitable tenants, our WALE's at 14.1 years, and portfolio value up 4.6% for the 12-month period. To present the financial results for the last 12 months in more detail, I'll now pass you over to Gareth. Thanks, Gareth.
Thanks, Rob, and good morning, everyone. Just turning to page 6 of the presentation, you will find a summary of Arena's operating income statement for the year, which shows a 9% increase in net operating profit. The net operating profit is a representation of Arena's cash-based earnings and is the source of distributions to investors. There is a reconciliation of net operating profit to statutory profit in the appendix to the presentation, the most substantial reconciling items being the periodic revaluation of investment property and the interest rate hedges. Our EPS of 13.8 cents is 5.3% higher than last year and was in line with our expectations throughout the year. A key driver of the result was the 14% increase in property income. This income growth has been derived on a basis consistent with prior years and is coming from the like-for-like rent reviews, which averaged 3.6% in the year, and the contribution from Arena's ongoing investment in ELC developments and new acquisitions, noting the four ELC developments completed in FY19, five ELCs acquired in conjunction with tenant partners, and the acquisition of the specialist disability accommodation portfolio. The FY19 acquisitions were weighted towards the second half of the year. Just looking at other line items there, other income includes fees from our unlisted healthcare property syndicate and interest income. The investors in that syndicate extended the investment term for a further 2 years during the year, and the small reduction in other income compared to last year is largely due to lower interest income on cash from equity raised in August of 2017. Property expenses are stable, notwithstanding the increased activity levels, which is pleasing. Looking at operating expenses, cash operating expenses, an increase was expected there with the substantial growth of the business. However, I will note there's around $200K of one-off costs in FY19 in that number, particularly around the transition of the managing directors back in February. In terms of other general OPEX, increases during FY19 were largely due to registry costs as we averaged more investors over FY19 versus FY18, albeit we have been on reducing these costs through an ongoing campaign to convert investors to email rather than mailed paper correspondence. Other compliance costs and regulatory costs such as custodian and corporate insurances were up during the year, and there was also the recent introduction of ASIC industry levies, which is the first time that's appeared in the profit and loss statement. Our expectation is that operating costs will be relatively flat in FY20 by comparison, notwithstanding that we recently added some additional resources to our property team to support the substantial growth and opportunities in the business. And some of you may have also seen that we appointed an additional non-executive director today. The increase in finance costs simply reflects the funding of the recent acquisitions and the developments completed over the past 12 to 18 months, which have transitioned from interest capitalisation during the development phase to operating expense now that leases have commenced. Our overall cost of borrowing reduced to 3.65% during the year, and our end-of-year gearing reduced by 2% to just under 23%. Although the average drawn debt balance throughout FY19 was around 20% higher than FY18. Obviously, they've given the proceeds of the institutional placement in May that was paid off the debt balance to be redrawn to fund future investment. The lower statutory profit is primarily attributable to the negative revaluation of interest rate hedges of around $8.6 million, which was driven by the significant decline in domestic interest rates during FY19. Positive revaluations of the property portfolio were around $32 million in both FY18 and FY19. With operating performance being in line with expectation, we paid distributions in FY19 of 13.5 cents per security, which was in accordance with our FY19 distribution guidance, and represented annual growth of around 5.5% on FY18. The payout ratio is consistent with recent years, which reflects the strong underlying cash flow generated by the business and the predominantly triple net nature of our leases. Expectations are there'll be a similar payout ratio in FY20. Turning to page 7, there's a summary of Arena's balance sheet. The full balance sheet is in the appendix to the presentation. Key points to note are the growth in total assets is primarily due to a net $66 million invested in acquisitions and ELC developments in FY19, and the asset revaluations of $32 million, which was also the primary driver of the 7% increase in net assets per security. Gearing at just under 23% is below Arena's maximum gearing range of circa 35 to 40%. However, we remain comfortable that the current gearing gives Arena significant scope to take advantage of growth opportunities at a low incremental cost of capital and provides a buffer around future market volatility. I note that the June balance sheet does not include the proceeds from the security purchase plan of $16 million, which was settled in July of 2019. Pro forma gearing is around 21% if the SPP proceeds are taken into account. Gearing is expected to increase by a couple of percentage points from completing the development projects, as Rob will outline later in the presentation. Just turning to page 8 and the capital management summary. Again, there's some additional information in the appendix. Our approach to capital management continues to prioritise resilience and risk reduction in the face of significant market volatility. We raised $50 million in an institutional placement in May and a further $16 million from the Associated Security Purchase Plan, which was settled in early July. As at 30 June, we had around $90 million of immediately available liquidity through existing debt facilities, which were expanded by $50 million back in February. You may also recall we completed a debt extension in early 2018 out to a weighted average term of near 5 years, and there is presently no facility expiry until March 2022, i.e. nearly 3 years. The combination of modest gearing and available liquidity allows us to actively consider growth opportunities with around circa $50 million of investment capex presently scheduled for FY20. Our average cost of debt has reduced to 3.65%, and we expect interest rate hedge cover to be maintained in that 70-80% range as debt is drawn to fund the development pipeline and new acquisitions. If the reduction in interest rates experienced over FY19 prevails, we also expect that our average cost of debt will further reduce over time as there is significant reversion value in the hedge book. Finally, it is important to note that Arena is operating well within the requirements of our debt facility, and we have substantial headroom in our LVR and interest cover covenants. I will now hand you back to Rob, who will update you on the property portfolio.
Thanks very much, Gareth. I'm now on page 10. We have 226 properties across Australia with a value of just short of $800 million. Our passing yield is 6.38%, which has seen minor compression over the period of about 14 basis points. This is predominantly a result of improved valuation metrics on the healthcare portfolio following the lease extensions. In terms of diversification, we continue to improve our spread of tenant partners, and geographically, you can see in that middle graph, if you tally Queensland, Vic and New South Wales, we have about 84% of the portfolio in the eastern seaboard states. We've marginally increased our sector diversity to healthcare following the acquisition of our specialist disability accommodation portfolio in South Australia, and given the strong macroeconomic drivers of healthcare accommodation, we would like to be doing more in this space. We've seen limited opportunities over the last 12 months, and the transactions that have taken place have been on pricing metrics that are not consistent with our view on long-term value. Moving on to lease expiry, on page 11, and the portfolio has increased, the portfolio WALE has increased in the period as a result of proactive management initiatives, strong tenant relations, and new development and acquisition activity. With no current vacancies and no income expiring in the next 3 years. And as you can see on this graph on this slide, we have less than 3% of the portfolio's income expiring prior to financial year 2028. And from there, the expiry profile of the portfolio is staggered relatively evenly from financial year 2029 to 2039, and a small portion of income expiring in financial year 42 and beyond. So very long-term, highly transparent and predictable cash flows that have annual escalations, providing real growth to our investors. Moving on to our rent review profile on the next slide, and we've broken down the financial year 19 review structures that made up the 3.6% like-for-like growth in the first column. As is the case for the next few years, the majority of our rental escalations are fixed or CPI with a ratchet of at least 2.5%, which are obviously providing real growth in the current low inflation environment. In the last 12 months, we also had about 17% exposure to market rent reviews, which is a higher than usual exposure, and about half of those were uncapped. The outcome of the uncapped reviews was roughly a 20% increase in aggregate, and the outcome of the capped reviews for the period was about 6.5%, which is consistent with prior year periods. We have a further 10 market rent reviews, equal to about 4% of the portfolio income, that are still in negotiation, and we anticipate completing these over the next few months. As we have in previous periods, we've also proactively restructured 11 leases, representing about 4% of income, and this involved rentalising some capital expenditure used for rejuvenation and upgrade works for three of our tenant partners, and extending lease terms to new 15 and 20 year leases. The uplift in rents on those assets was just over 20%, and we don't view that increase as like for like. So that increase of 20% on those leases is not included in the 3.6% like for like result. Looking forward for the next 3 years, you'll note the vast majority of rent reviews continue to be those fixed or CPI with at least a ratchet of 2.5%. Our exposure to market rent reviews is 7.6%, 9.1% and 3.9% of income for financial year 20, 21 and 22 respectively, and each of those have the cap of 7.5% increase and a collar at the prevailing passing rent. Moving to page 13, and our origination development programs continue to progress to expectation with 8 operating centres acquired, made up of 5 early learning centres with new and existing tenant partners and 3 high acuity specialist disability accommodation properties in South Australia that are occupied by our tenant partner, SA Care. We've also completed 4 exciting development projects in the period that are geographically spread over Queensland, Victoria and New South Wales, that each have the common investment rationale of being located in undersupplied catchment areas that have poor older style competition, where the introduction of high quality operations with ease in parking and good exposure that can be delivered at a cost that allows the tenant to be highly competitive with their daily fees. Each of the newly developed properties are exceeding early occupancy targets, with all 4 properties now operating profitably for our tenant partners. Looking at the pipeline, in total our development pipeline now sits at 9 projects with an anticipated aggregate cost of $50 million. We also have a further 2 properties with an anticipated cost of another $9 million contracted post 30 June. We are nearing practical completion on one of those projects and anticipate the balance to be complete in the second half of financial year 20 and first half of financial year 21. Each of our current development projects are being undertaken on a fund-through basis where either a third-party developer or tenant undertakes the development and we pay capped progressive payments for which we earn a return either by capitalised coupon or site rent. These projects typically have a lower level of inherent development risk and as such provide for a lower anticipated yield. And we anticipate that will be in the order of about 6.7% looking forward. Of the $50 million total anticipated cost, about $36 million was outstanding to complete the projects as at balance date. And moving on to the next slide, and you can see here, I'm on page 14, that we have set out a chronology of the development programs we've completed over the last 7 years. We're very proud of our track record in delivering on our development programs. Over the last 7 years, we've completed some 37 successful development projects across the country, significantly more than any other group. We've learned plenty of lessons along the way and have built up an enviable reputation on delivering the right projects with the right partners in the right locations. Our programs obviously provide benefits to our tenant partners as well as the communities that we invest in, benefits to the children that are accommodated in our centres and of course benefit to our investors. In total we've invested $170 million that has generated in excess of $28 million in additional rent over the last 7 years. The $170 million invested is currently valued at over $205 million, which equates to a 20% margin. Whilst those margins are great to obtain and are an appropriate reward for the risks that we take on, it is not the driver of our development activity. We actually don't need to grow for growth's sake. Our development programs are not about building scale. They're about accessing long-term, predictable cash flows with prospects for growth over the medium term. Our team are looking forward to putting our skills to work on our recently acquired development projects and using our skills to continue finding the best new projects in the market. Moving on to market conditions on page 15, and the demand drivers for the early learning sector continue to be strong and we anticipate that demand will continue to increase in the medium term, driven by higher female workforce participation and better recognition of the socialisation benefits that early learning provides to young children. We've seen continued population growth in the 0 to 4 year old bracket. And importantly, the positive effects of the childcare subsidy has encouraged stronger participation amongst particularly middle-income families. In February, we were able to report that early indications were positive for operators, and this has shown through our reporting data over the last 9 months, and is consistent with government-released data to December that provides an increase in the number of hours and an increase in the number of children attending early learning, with enrolments up in long day care by about 4.9% as of December year-on-year. In relation to supply, there were 298 new centres added across the country in the year to June 2019, representing a minor reduction in the aggregate growth rate from 4% to 3.9% year on year. We anticipate suppliers likely to continue to moderate in the medium term, principally as a result of a more measured approach from operators in relation to their expansion programs. As we've consistently said, we should use a degree of caution when aggregating supply data, as the early learning centre market is better viewed as a collection of micro-markets. By way of example, ARENA maps some 1,300 catchments for supply and demand imbalances, and there are, as you would expect, catchments that are oversupplied and areas that remain or have become undersupplied. It sounds obvious, but a deep understanding of the industry and the markets being considered for investment is required, which is obviously fundamental to ARENA's approach. So what does that all mean for ARENA's early learning portfolio? And I'm on page 16. ARENA's portfolio remains in a very strong position, 100% occupied. Every one of our 210 operating early learning centres provide operating data, and that data provides us important information that assists our capital allocation decisions and provides insight into the general health of the sector. Across our portfolio, underlying operator occupancy has improved for our tenant partners in the last 12 months by approximately 2%. Daily fee growth has increased by 5% to reflect approximately $103 per day, which remains significantly below the government's benchmark fee of $130 per day. As you can see on the graph at the bottom of this page, the government funding package suits our early learning centre portfolio, which is typically geared towards middle-income families. And to give this some context, all but four of our early learning centres have daily fees under the government's benchmark fee. And pleasingly, operator accommodation costs have moderated slightly despite strong rental growth across the portfolio. And as you can see on that graph there, rent-to-gross revenue ratio decreased marginally from 11.2% to 10.6% over the year. Moving on to the next slide, and looking forward, we have a positive outlook, which is underpinned by the prospect of strong underlyings growth and a market that is conducive to providing new investment opportunities. Strategically, we are well positioned to continue delivering benefits to the communities that use our assets and on our investment objective of providing long-term predictable distributions to investors with good prospects for growth. From a macro level, we have a growing need for social infrastructure services based on population growth and changing community needs and values. We've increased our funding capacity to execute on selective new acquisition and development activities, and importantly, we have a highly engaged and dedicated management team with strong relationships with tenant partners and in-house origination and development expertise. Moving on to the final slide, and we are reaffirming our full-year distribution guidance for financial year 20 of 14.3 cents today, an increase of 5.9%. To support our guidance, as you will picked up throughout the presentation, our portfolio metrics are in good shape. We've replenished our development pipeline and are seeing opportunities in the market for us to prudently invest new capital. And as Gareth advised, we've seen strong financial performance over the course of financial year 19 and are well positioned to commence financial year 20.